This is a Jerry Pippin special report. We've all heard the sound of a flying saucer landing, in the movies at least. Many movies since the 1950s have had the sound of a flying saucer coming to land. But in real life, it has happened, evidently, to many people. And it was not as exciting as the movies. It was terrifying. They came, they saw, and they take. Abductions. E.T. abductions. That's the subject of our show tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our UFO special. It's extraterrestrials and abductions and the phenomenon that has been around for a while. And we'll talk about the phenomenon and how long it's been there and what is happening with it. We'll have a regular panel like we did last time we did an abduction special. And Elaine Douglas will be joining us in a moment. And she is a well-known journalist and researcher involved in abductions, and she has JAR magazine, J-A-R-S, I think. We'll get all the clarification from Elaine here in a moment. We're doing this show on the evening of July 25th, deep in the heart of the summertime here in North America. And interestingly enough, tonight, the star Sirius was rising over Egypt and the pyramids. Sirius was a very important star to the ancients. And in early science fiction, when I first became acquainted with this entire subject, Sirius was one of the places we suspected that perhaps abductees or ETs who did the abducting came from. We're not really sure where they really come from. Sirius is one of the closest stars, and many think that they played an important part in at least some of the UFO encounters we've had. And so we just thought we'd mention that before we start the show completely. And first, we probably should go ahead and bring on our first panel member, Elaine Douglas. And Elaine Douglas is a good friend of ours. We talk to her regularly, and she's been very interested in the UFO business for a long time. She has quite a background, and we'll probably get into some of that as we go along. And Elaine, do you still have the magazine JARS?
Yes, Jerry, we still do. It's a great pleasure to talk to you today.
It's always good to have you on. Why don't you tell people a little bit before we go any further the background on JARS and what it is exactly and why you call it that.
JAR stands for the Journal of Abduction and Counter Research. And it's a quarterly journal centered on the abductions, which I think is the most important part of the picture when we come to look at the ET picture. And so that's why the magazine's centered on that.
Now, you told me at one time that you had never really had an abduction experience. So what got you interested in it?
Well, I don't see how anybody could not be absolutely mesmerized if they think that there's extraterrestrials operating on the planet. I mean, it's just something that can't be ignored. You don't have to be an abductee to be mesmerized by it all.
Do you remember when you first became aware of the ET abduction phenomenon?
Yeah, Bud Hopkins in the mid-80s. I heard an interview with him. And, you know, Jerry, that communication that's on the website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com, have you played that yet?
No, we'll play it here in a minute, because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
and you're very interested in that website, and you call that woman a cadaverous-looking woman. That's an interesting adjective.
Well, did you look at her? She's kind of cadaverous-looking. But I wish you'd go ahead and play that. It would be great.
Okay. And you might tell the audience why we're going to play it.
Well, if you just play it, then we can talk about it.
Okay, we'll do it your way. Joe, let's go ahead and play that insert right now.
Created Creator and us. It has been declared that extractions of the Cabal have begun. Those extracted will be destroyed. Those that surrender will be spared and given a choice. Each day they wait means more will be taken. And if there is no surrender by June 21st, they will all perish. With acceptance of the terms of surrender comes an offer to rejoin the light, requiring rehabilitation and probation, both under supervision. Any damage done to humanity or Gaia will be restored. Failure to accept the terms of surrender will be interpreted as an act of aggression and an act of war. Since it has been decreed that there will be no more wars, this would constitute a violation of this decree. The bloodlines will be removed from Earth in a couple of ways. They may either choose to be rehabilitated on a more suitable planet, or they will be destroyed. I would like to say unconditional surrender, but unfortunately, humanity still feels the need for governments to guide them. Therefore, for the remainder of this year, we will be responsible for using the tools given to us to return Gaia's health as quickly as possible. All residual and corrupt humans left after culling the Cabal will be found and extracted.
Hi, Elaine Douglas. Why don't you expand a little bit on why you wanted us to play this?
It's a very startling communication, isn't it, Jerry? That communication is a video. It appears on the AmericanNationalMilitia.com site. It's a site run by a fellow calling himself Drake. And Drake is talking about how the U.S. military is going to do mass arrests of the Cabal. This was supposed to happen by the end of June.
Yeah, she said June 21st there, and we obviously passed that.
Obviously. When I point this communication out to people, sometimes some of them say, well, we didn't have a military coup in June, and the ETs didn't swoop down and extract people and send them to the central sun where their very existence would be erased from time. I'm quoting her. So they say that the communication isn't true. It didn't come true, so it's not worth paying attention to this communication. But to me, you know, I never thought it was going to come true. And I've heard other communications like it in the past. But still, Jerry, I can't put it aside easily. Here's my question is, how does this kind of output come to be? You know, somebody put this communication together and carefully presented it to it. Who put it together, and what exactly do they have in mind? You know, it bothers me. You know, if we could take a look at what this communication seems to be saying. This woman is sitting there. She's mouthing this statement. She's very skinny. I call her the cadaverous woman. I'd like to take her out and buy her a meal. She doesn't say her name. Drake won't tell us her name. There's no affiliation stated. At the beginning, she begins by intoning, "The votes for war and peace have ended." Sounds very portentous, very formal and important. You know, but votes by whom? We don't know what she's talking about, so we listen. And we listen more, we realize it's a threatening statement. She tells us it's coming from, quote, on and off-world forces. Okay. So this is the ETs talking, the ETs and their human allies. And they're, what are they saying? And so they're demanding the surrender of another group of humans, the Cabal. Who's the Cabal? They're never named, Jerry. You know, I've been hearing the ETs and their human allies talk about the Cabal for years. And not one time have I heard the names of the Cabal. I'm going to take a wild guess here, and I'm going to say that the Cabal, this is just, you know, reading between the lines. It's U.S. government people who are part of the UFO cover-up. So the cadaverous woman, she tells us, the ETs told these UFO cover-up people that they could either surrender or they would all be destroyed.
We hear many stories from abductees, not necessarily like this one, but very similar, of doom and gloom and being saved by a group of ETs. I mean, it's not something different, but as you say, you never really believed that message before June 21st, and neither did I.
Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself, like I'm doing, where is this coming from? Okay? I mean, it might be, it's a question, isn't it? Is this a stage show, a performance for the UFO community? Or does this bear any relationship to reality? Are the ETs in a standoff with the cover-up? They could be. So according to her, according to the cadaverous woman, she tells us that when the ET told the cover-up that they could either surrender or they'd all be destroyed, the cover-up people apparently answered by saying, hell no, we'll fight to the death, that's according to her, before we surrender. And if you push us by voting for war, we'll take out 2/3 of the population of Earth. Jerry, do you remember the movie Dr. Strangelove?
Sure.
Do you remember the Doomsday Machine? The Russians said they rigged up something. The Russians rigged this up. That if U.S. attacked them, that it would trigger explosions by thousands of nuclear weapons all over the place, and there would be nothing left. And it was set up so that it couldn't be stopped. So the cadaverous woman seems to be alluding to something like that, a Doomsday Machine. At the response of the cover-up people to the demands of the ETs and their human allies. So then she suggests that in the eyes of the ETs, it's not a very credible threat. The ETs don't believe, apparently, that cover-up would actually unleash a doomsday machine. She called it a fear card.
Now, how long have you been publishing your quarterly magazine? Several years. So this scenario is probably not, you know, off the wall. We've heard this before. And this is part of the abduction thing we hear. And that's one of the reasons some people don't take abductions seriously, is that they hear these things all the time. I mean, what do you think about it? I mean, do you think it's, you asked some pretty good questions. I don't have the answers.
So, you know, she claims that the ETs intend to carry on with their threat, which is they're going to extract and kill all the cabal. They do surrender, they can be rehabilitated, she says. And then she gets legalistic. She says that it has been decreed there will be no more wars. But if the cabal does not surrender, that will be an act of war. So failure to surrender is an act of war. It justifies the extraction. Now, remember, Jerry, but in the background, we have Drake. Now, you know, I'll get to him in a minute. But then she goes on to claim that the ETs get their authority from God. She says, from the supreme heart and mind who created creation, who created the Creator and us. It has been declared. I mean, these kinds of statements are not, this is non-trivial propaganda. You know, and I think we ought to examine it.
So you don't think it's somebody that's demented that had strange dreams or something and they just decided to put it on the web? You think there's more to it?
No, I don't. I think this is coming from the ET.
Well, who are we doing it and why?
Well, that's a very good question. Why are the ETs doing this and why are the ETs doing it?
I mean, first of all, you and I agree that I think that extraterrestrial interventions through the means of abductions have been taking place for some time. And we have various stories. And I think, and I'd like to have your opinion, but I think, you know, maybe there's more than one group doing different things.
Which would mean?
Yeah, with human beings.
I'm not, can I say in a very friendly way, so what? You know, I mean that in a friendly manner. You know, the ET presence is, the abductions are part of it. We have a hybridization program. There are so many reports, Jerry, of alien bases in many places on the Earth. This is very serious. We also know that our government has contact with aliens. We also know that our government is engaging in abductions itself. Okay, there's a great deal that is going on. It's all on a realm that the only people who are aware of it is the UFO community. That is just a remarkable thing, because the whole thing is so surreal, so outlandish, so unbelievable that, you know, the only ones who know about it in the public are UFO researchers and abductees. Now, what does she mean when she talks about bloodlines? She says all the bloodlines will be removed from Earth and taken to a suitable planet or destroyed. Do you know what the bloodlines are, Jerry?
No, tell me. I know our audience, so a lot of people don't know either.
Maybe somebody will call in and tell us what they are. You know, then she says, she refers to all the rest of us people, the non-cabal, and what will happen after the cabal extraction is over. She says, unfortunately, humanity still feels the need for governments to guide them. Therefore, for the remainder of the year, we will be responsible. So you have to read between these lines, Jerry. It sounds like she's saying that after the cabal is extracted, ETs will be responsible for governing. You know, that's what it says. I mean, I don't know what else.
But my point is, which
is what I'm doing.
My point is that abductions happen all over the world. And, for instance, down in Brazil, quite a few. One of the original ones was there. And you don't hear people talking about the ETs telling them we're going to take over the government of Brazil, or they're working hand-in-hand with them. It seems to be something that's prevalent here in the United States. And so what I want to get past tonight, if we can, is the fact that there's a lot of strange stories about abductions, but behind all those strange stories, there's some real events happening. Don't you agree?
Well, of course they're real events. You know, of course they're real events, and they must not be seen as just some sort of isolated event, an abduction. What does it mean? Why are they being done?
You know, we're going to get some.
We're
going to get some stories from people who have been abducted.
You can get
and some other people on the panel who maybe can answer some of these questions for us. But you're right. You've been covering this story for a long time, and these issues you bring up are important, but they're not really the core story.
Jerry,
the core story is there's some hybridization going on. Some tagging of people, some tracking of us, through families and bloodlines. Don't you agree?
I don't know what the bloodlines are.
That means a family. It's generation after generation after generation. Surely you've heard that story.
These abductions lead, Jerry, to the capture of the personality and the will, as well as the body of the abductees. They lead to a capitulation, and they lead to an appropriation of the life of the abductee to serve the ET agenda. So, you know, when you see the cadaverous woman, when you see Drake, who's out there telling us that the ETs are, I mean, do you want to know what he said? You know, do you want to know what Drake's take on all this is, and what he's advocating and what he's about?
Well, are you suggesting this could have, this woman is an ET or an instrument of some propaganda, or?
I
just don't think there's much to it. I think basically she's just out there.
She's just out there.
Yeah, in other words,
she's
not part of the real extraterrestrial abduction issue. I see no evidence, personally. It's just my opinion. Maybe we'll change my mind
in
the next 2.5 hours. But I don't see any evidence of a group of ETs that are going to take over the world and work. And we hear about the reptilians working with certain governments. Do you buy into that?
There is no evidence of what she is or who she is. All we know about her is her visage. And what she says, her prepared statement. So we don't have evidence that what she is or what she isn't. But what we do have evidence of is the manner in which the abductions lead to the capture of the personality, the will, and the entire life of the abductee, and who then becomes a person after they capitulate due to a long period of time in which many inducements and compulsions are inflicted on the abductee lead to a capitulation. And then you have people who are saying that they are aliens. You know, that they're aliens, and they're saying that they look to the aliens to save the planet. And they say that as far as they're concerned,
Elaine, is that much different than the religious Christian belief of someday we'll all be raptured and saved from here? It seems to me it's the same little story.
Well, if you want to,
I'm after tonight on the facts here is maybe we can establish some real facts about what abductions really are. Are they what this woman says and what we've been alluding to, or a more realistic or scientific basis for what they're doing?
Jerry, first of all, we have the cadaverous lady who's speaking on behalf of the abductees, of the ETs, and telling us that the cabal is going to be arrested and extinguished. Then we have Drake, on whose website she appears. He won't tell us who she is, you know, but he tells us about himself, and he tells us that he's a person who's connected with the ETs. And he tells us that the ETs are standing in the background and waiting while the U.S. military bestirs itself to arrest the cabal, that they're waiting. He tells us in his last broadcast,
I think it's more likely that if there is a cabal, the U.S. military would be part of it. It's the reason I'm saying that we shouldn't make too much of this, especially in the show, but I wanted to bring you on at first and talk about it, because it is part of the overall ET abduction scene. And I'm going to bring on Craig Lang here in a minute, who's a hypnotherapist, and he has some stories to talk about as well. And Elaine, I hope you hang around here for the panel, because we want your opinions as the night goes along. Do you have any closing comments about this before we go to break?
No, I'll make comments later.
Okay. We'll be back in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is our extraterrestrial abduction show special. Don't go away.
I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypippin.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often.
You are listening to our abduction special, Extraterrestrials, taking human beings. For what purpose, we're not sure. Dr. David Jacobs has made a career investigating this phenomenon.
It happens to an enormous amount of people who are random people, but who are abductees, which means they are not random. People don't really know what's happened to them. People are embarrassed to even talk about this. It makes them seem crazy. There are some people who are enormously articulate, people who have PhDs and MDs and so forth, and they see the big picture right away, and then they're very, very careful in what they say, and they're very observant. And there are some people who are not so articulate and not so observant, and it's much more difficult for them to understand what's happening. But ultimately, they all sort of describe the same things. If this were psychological, what would happen is we'd have a lot of different goals, a lot of different things happening. We wouldn't be able to have this sort of straight and narrow path that people have been describing. It'd be all over the place. But it's not that way. They all say the same thing. I'm very pessimistic about it. I fear for the future.
That's Dr. David Jacobs talking about ET abductions.
That's Dr. David Jacobs that you were listening to talking about, frankly, he's not very optimistic about the entire abduction scenario and the end results for generations on down the line. And so we played that for a reason, because I wanted to bring on Craig Lang right now. Craig, how are you?
Hey, great.
And you're up in Minnesota, I take it?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
And you've been doing hypnotherapy for some time?
Yeah, I've been actually a hypnotherapist for about 15 years. I just took a big swan dive into my practice. I just left my day job about 6 months ago, so now I am a half-time hypnotherapist and about half-time writer and researcher and things like that. So it's a whole brave new world here all of a sudden.
Yeah, say hello to Elaine Douglas, who's talking to us from
Elaine?
Utah.
Well, Craig was just appointed state director for MUFON.
Yeah, I just got that crown and scepter about the same time I left my day job, so life changes a lot really fast.
We're going to talk about a few things here in a moment, but first of all, Dr. David Jacobs, who originally was going to be on tonight's show, is on vacation up at Cape Cod, and he couldn't get away tonight. His family was counting on doing something, so he's going to join us in September or October on the next special. But we're glad to have Elaine and Craig here. And Craig, I got an email here, and Elaine, you can answer this as well. So apart from the hybridization program, what other reasons could there be for abductions? And both of you can give me an explanation. First of all, you, Craig.
The sense I get is that there's quite a few different reasons. Some of those reasons are rather ambiguous, I think. I think there's a monitoring and a research component to it. I think there's a teaching component of some kind to it. And I think there's probably some kind of an exploitation component to it. I think us speculating on an alien agenda is probably something like wolves speculating on the agenda behind the rangers, wilderness rangers or something like that. It's like there's some things that probably we just don't understand.
And Elaine, what's your take on it? The whole abduction scenario.
Well, what I see is the life appropriation, the manner in which the abductees become bonded to the aliens and become persuaded that they're more a part of the aliens than they are a part of the human race.
Craig, let's talk a little bit about hypnotherapy.
Sure.
Yeah, are you convinced that when you put somebody under hypnosis that they are telling the truth, or Do you have some sort of safeguards to make sure that I'm making things up, or is that even possible?
Yeah, we have a there are a number of ways that you can tell. It's not foolproof by any means, but there are ways that you can tell whether something is creative in nature or metaphorical. You know, I've used those quite a bit, and one of the easiest ways is just through repetition. It's the same way that forensic interviewers tell when they're like detectives when they're interviewing a suspect. They do the same thing. They basically ask the person to tell the story forward and backward. And they look for if the story is consistent from all different angles, then it's probably true. So whereas dream material or creative material probably would not be. I always just put it like Mark Twain said, tell the truth, you have to remember so much less.
Is everyone susceptible to hypnotherapy?
Just about everybody. I've been practicing for 15 years, and I think there were about 3 or 4 people who really did not do well under hypnosis, primarily because either there was some issue, mental or psychiatric issue that prevented them from allowing themselves to go with the flow. If you can read a novel, or if you can, get into a novel, or if you can get into a good movie, and identify with the characters, you have been hypnotized.
And this is Craig Lang, and he's in Minnesota. And one of my favorite radio TV personalities of all time is from Minnesota, by the name of Jim Lang. And are you related to him at all?
Nope.
Very
interesting. It might be if you go back far enough into German ancestry.
Yeah.
If you go back far enough into Bavaria, maybe, but so far as I can tell, no.
Now, you have a website. Tell
people. CraigRLang.com.
Yeah. And on that website, what would people find?
Well, I have a lot about alien abduction, a lot about hypnotherapy, and kind of a lot about, what is hypnosis, what different aspects of dealing with the abduction phenomenon, a number of research projects I've done over the years. So it's a pretty wide variety of stuff. And also what you can expect, in hypnosis, in hypnotherapy, how to contact me, where I do my work, and things like that.
Now, we'll have Peter Robbins joining us next hour to be part of the panel as well. And people listening, if you have an abduction question or a story or a real-life experience or you suspect something, you're invited to call in at 888-919-2355. That'll be toll-free. Elaine, you've been doing this quarterly magazine for some time about abductions. And hypnosis plays an important part in what we've discovered about abductions over the years, don't you think? What's your feeling about hypnosis?
It's a very useful tool.
And so and Craig, I guess naturally you do too, put a lot of stock into it. We just had David Jacobs on with a little soundbite. And
yeah.
he puts a lot of stock into it. So let's find out what people say under hypnosis about abductions.
You have to be aware of the limitations of it. It tells you what's in the person's subconscious. It doesn't actually tell you what happened. And you always have to be aware of what it is that you're actually seeing or hearing when someone's in hypnosis. Although you can do a lot to establish, whether or not something is biographical memory or something like that. In the end, you have to be aware of what you're doing, of what you're actually, what book you're actually reading. And the book that you're reading is actually the person's subconscious, not necessarily a tape recorder of what happened or a video camera of what happened.